Blog Talk Radio.
In Jesus, I believe his soul was an ascended master, mm-hmm. and the bloodline of the body was very Palladian. So he kind of had that mix of both. And then, of course, his teachings got extremely skewed further mm-hmm. down the line. The one time I connected with Jesus as an ascended master, just in my meditation, I didn't expect it. And, you know, his purpose to bring to planet Earth, to incarnate here, was to embody absolute unconditional love. And with that embodiment, and unconditional love isn't like, I love you unconditionally. It's not that romanticized bullshit, honestly. It's a vibrational frequency that is of the highest vibration. Mm-hmm. And in that frequency, that's where you can turn water into wine. That's where you can create fish out of nothing. That's where you can walk on water, because he was essentially defying the laws of physics while he was around, simply because he was in a much, much higher vibration. And I believe, and what he was trying to teach us all, is that we can all embody that vibration, and we can all defy the laws of physics, classical physics. Like, for example, if I wanted to stick my hand through this wall, I could in this highest vibration, you know, and I believe that that's possible. So that's kind of what he was here to show us all.
Russell, is that what you wanted me to listen to? Hello?
Okay, did you hear that? Yeah, that was Elizabeth April. Have you heard about her, Elizabeth April?
No.
Uh-uh. Yeah, you might want to Google. She's about 28 years old, and she's been really focused on this whole thing from the time she was 4 or 5, and she has some stories. So you might want to just punch her up at some point in time. So Elizabeth April, she's really good at what she says. And she was talking about Jesus. What is your take on Jesus? Who was he? What was his purpose, and what did he try to do for us on this planet?
Well, a much higher observation from the cosmic beings, the higher dimensional cosmic beings, the planet at that time was at such a low vibration, probably not as low as it is now, but damn near as low. And it was a decision made on the high, by source consciousness, by source, that, and this is not done very often, but to send somebody to the earth plane to affect the energy and the vibration of the entire planet. And it had been done before by a number of masters. The one before was Buddha. And Buddha's message was compassion. He wasn't quite as high as the vibration of Jesus, but it doesn't matter. Because he was certainly high enough to affect the planet. And he was basically, the people from the East kind of revere Buddha more than they do Jesus, and that was the way it was meant to be. Jesus, on the other hand, was meant to bring the East and the West together and on the planet. You know, the Eastern philosophy, which is that the mystics and they don't do religion. They do, they elevate their own consciousness through their own types of work, meditation, yogi, whatever it is. And, of course, the West does their religion thing, which is neither good, bad, right, or wrong, but it is in a box.
Mm-hmm.
So it was decided in the cosmos that they would send one individual down. And it was planned on the cosmic level, on a higher level, who would be the players. So they all kind of if you want to kind of make it, you know, down to earth, they all, different beings, tried out for these parts. And one individual was chosen. And that individual, we call it Jeshua, Jesus, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And Mary tried out for her part, and she basically came down from the angelic realm to play the mother of Jesus. And then there was Joseph, who played the masculine energy, which balanced out the masculine, and Mary being the divine feminine. My voice is kind of foggy today, but at any rate, the plan was made at a certain time, a certain date, a certain location and vibration that this would occur. And so it did occur. And Jesus entered the earth plane. And Mary was more enlightened than Jesus. She had to be, because she carried that seed, and it there wasn't any intercourse between she and Joseph. It was a divine implantation by consciousness. I mean, you know, you can manifest anything. So Jesus was basically manifested in the womb of Mary. And Mary had to be extremely enlightened to the degree where she could not, she did not have the luxury of one negative thought. And coming down to the earth plane, you can imagine how difficult that would be. Because
right.
Jesus had a lot of negative thoughts that he had to work through. But coming through the womb of Mary, her energy just pretty much engulfed Jesus. So when he was born to be more, he wasn't born enlightened. He was born as a human, had to go through the human, that's what an ascended master is. They have to pass all the earth initiations before they can become an ascended master. And that was what he had to do as Jesus. And so he had his struggles to go through, but getting back to your, what I just heard, the lost years of Jesus, of course, we know was spent in India along with Mary, his mother, who went with him.
But he left at 12. They say he left at 12 and came back at 30.
Right, and he had to leave then because then at that time they were meant to get married. I mean, you know, in Judea, that's when you were supposed to, you know, start a family and all this type of stuff. So in order to avoid the laws and the expectations of the people of that time where Jesus came, I assume it was Nazareth, he had to, he was expected to obey that. So he had to pretty much leave the country. And also, he basically got the majority of his teachings from the yogis, the enlightened ones. They were already enlightened from the East.
Right.
And so both he and Mary went there. Mary was already pretty enlightened. And that's where he learned to manifest what we call miracles, which aren't miracles. They're basically the abilities of those that have raised their consciousness to a high vibration, and they can manifest just by their will.
All right. Well, Jesus said in one of his statements in John 14:12 that all the things I have done, you can do and more. Right?
Sure.
Right.
And that's what he was trying to tell mankind, but all mankind really wanted was a savior. They weren't prepared to do any work on their own self.
Right.
And Jesus' main message was to tell mankind, or the human, basically, that we are as he is. And he is no better than us, and we are no better than him. We are all one.
All right. Well, who decided that he should come? Who made the decision?
It was made in the cosmos.
what, or that somebody, some entity in the cosmos, you say they, who happen to be they? Who are they?
I don't know, and basically I would imagine it would be the highest vibration closest to source.
I see.
Nobody knows what source is. I don't care what they say. They don't know what source is. Because humans.
Have you heard of the name Q? Have you ever heard of the name Q?
QAnon? Q?
Some guy was Q. He said he was source, but that's right. We won't get into that today. I'll have to get him on the air and talk about that first. But anyway, so no one, look, in my inquisitive, all my answers, all my questions about people who know this stuff, no one, and you happen to say that no one knows the source. So no one knows how the universe was created. And all the
it's unknowable, right? Right. I mean, even the highest of the angelic realm, they don't know source. Source is unknowable.
Okay, let me ask you another question right behind that. You said of all the entities in the vastness of the billions and billions and hundreds of billions of planets in the universe, right? Yes. That no one knows source. How can you say that when we don't know the many, many, many entities on in the far reaches of the galaxies, who they are and what they know?
They still don't know source. Source is unknowable. That goes all through the any galaxy that you want to imagine, which is outside of the 12th dimension, they still don't know source.
Okay, but how can we say that when we don't know those people outside of this, the 12th dimension or the 13th dimension or wherever you want to go? How can we say that's a fact?
Because source does not split itself into anything. It is everything. Source is it's down here on the third dimension, we're not able to understand things of the highest realms. We just can't on the third dimension.
All right, let's talk about
Jesus
that.
Himself.
Let's just talk
okay,
about
what?
That a bit. So we are saying that in your understanding of the universe and how it functions, the lowest dimension is the third dimension. Is that what you're saying to me?
Yeah, there's other dimensions lower, but the lowest dimension that can hold individual consciousness, that can be individualized and that can be self-realized within that individual consciousness, is the third dimension.
Okay. What is the difference between the third, the fourth, and the fifth dimension? Because people are saying, I was listening to Lori Ladd, and she was giving some instructions about how to go from the third dimension to the fourth, the fifth dimension. Did you? I think you sent that to me. Do you want to talk about that? Let's talk to me about that.
Okay, I can, but I want to tell you that I my own self, don't have the connections that Lori Ladd has.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She can explain it because she has direct communication with the Galactic Federation, as does Carrie Kay. And so what they say doesn't come from any book. It doesn't come from, they don't read.
Oh, I see.
They get it straight from the Galactics.
Okay.
I have some innate knowledge. I don't have direct communication.
All right, let's talk about that a bit. You're saying Lori, L-O-R-I-E, Ladd, A-L-A-D-D, and if you go to loriladd.com and Google that, the people who are new, like me, can Google that and listen to what she has to say. And then you say there's Carrie K, K-E-R-R-Y, and then there's a K, and her website, I think it's Corey K, .net.
You can ask for their, I mean, if somebody can ask, Google it up and say, Carrie K. Spiritual videos.
Okay. Okay.
Just spiritual videos. Carrie K. videos. That would do it. And Lori Ladd, you know, she says it on there, LoriLadd.com.
Okay. Great.
Videos.
Great.
And there will be all sorts of videos people can choose to look at. But that the one that was a very interesting one, but you really had to follow it, would be the 12 dimensions that Lori Ladd does. And I sent that to you.
Okay, great.
And then you got to listen to it a few times to really get what she's saying. Because she does talk. Yeah.
Will do.
And then they both talk about the Anunnaki. They both talk about the reptilians. They don't put a whole lot of emphasis on really tuning into them, because they are, for the most part, dark entities, and it doesn't do us much good to really focus on how much control we are under by the Anunnaki and the reptilians. It doesn't do the human that good to benefit their own individual process of ascension or enlightenment, because they tend to get, like yourself, you can tend to get so invested and interested in all this information,
mm-hmm.
which may or may not be true. I don't know. It probably is. But it doesn't have any effect on you, because your purpose here is to turn inwards and realize that you are source energy having a human experience.
Okay.
So in other words, you are not a physical body with the spirit in you. That they got it backwards. You are spirit. You are whole, complete, God source spirit having an experience in a human body. And that is the most difficult experiment and experience that is possible.
Wow.
And that's why the human is so revered and by other higher beings. We are so revered because of the courage that we had to drop into a physical body. I mean, we actually literally made a contract to take a trip to hell.
Wow.
And a lot of the higher, like the fifth dimension on up beings, they said, we're already ascended. Why would I want to go back down to hell?
True.
But a lot of them do, because Earth put out a clarion call to the universe. And I'm not sure exactly when this was. I believe it was probably about the 80s. She put out a clarion call to the universe saying, help me. Because we had abused her so much and we were not growing in consciousness, which is our only purpose here, is to grow in consciousness and to realize what Jesus was trying to tell us, and of course we hung him for it. But his only reason to come here was not only to put cosmic energy back into the planet to raise Earth's vibration. He did it on a planetary scale, but he also did it to assist mankind to the formula for self-enlightenment. And when you follow this formula for self-enlightenment, that means that what he was saying, that you will do what I do and even more,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
if you follow this formula.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And basically the formula was to experience what you need to experience on Earth, because there is no good, bad, right, or wrong. We all play different parts. And And remember, the human has been here for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, created by the Anunnaki.
Can we talk about that a bit?
Well, the Anunnaki created the human.
Okay.
And I don't want to call them, I don't want to call the Anunnaki bad, but they are pretty much selfish. Because they had attained a high enough level, as you know, like they were the Sumerian gods. Okay, like all in way back in Egypt, they had different gods, you know, and they were the Sumerian gods. But as a collective, the Anunnaki decided, hey, I am enlightened, so enlightened to the point that I love my life just the way it is. I can manifest anything. My technology is off the roof. I have fun. I have joy. I can do what I want. And so they made a decision as the gods that they were, and I'm not calling them source because they weren't. You know, none of them are source. We're all aspects, different vibrations of source. God, source, creator, divine intelligence, whatever you want to call it, it's the same thing. But they decided that they do not want to evolve any higher.
Okay.
They love the life that they had. So they intentionally cut themselves off from source energy.
Where did you get that information from?
This is something that I had felt, and I also, basically, I got it from Carrie Kay.
I see. Where did Carrie? Let me just follow that a bit, just a bit. So you got
Lori Ladd, L-A-D-D.
I got it, Lori Ladd. Got it, L-O-R-I-E-L-A-D-D. And you got Carrie Kay, K-E-R-R-Y, and that initial K. So where did they get their information from, saying that they don't necessarily read or listen to other people?
No, they intentionally do not.
They don't.
Because they have a direct, they don't need any information, they don't need any books or any of that stuff.
No?
They don't need to listen to anybody else because they have a direct communication with the Galactic Federation of Light.
Oh, right.
They go up to their ships. If you listen to Carrie Kay's story,
okay,
when I told you that she was having multiple near-death experiences because of her severe asthma condition for about 12 years, she was in and out of death. And during that time, she had spent time on the ships with the Galactic Federation. And they downloaded her with tons and tons of information. And these, we're calling these beings, they're fifth dimension on up to the 12th dimension,
sure,
as Lori Ladd does too. So they don't need any books because they get it straight from a higher dimensional source.
Okay. What is that higher dimensional source, if I may?
Just a higher dimension, beings, light beings.
Okay.
Whether it's being from the angelic realm, whether it's the the Arcturians, the Andromedans, the Sirians, the Lyrans, whatever. They're all higher dimension. Now, see the Anunnaki, because they made a conscious decision to cut themselves off from source energy. And we are not cut off from source energy. We just don't know we have it. And so we're still asleep. But they cut themselves off from source energy and wanted to become their own gods. And as a result, they were not able to create on their own. They couldn't do it because they cut themselves off from source energy, which is the creator.
Okay.
And from that energy, we get the ability to create. The Anunnaki cut themselves off so they could create lesser beings. And through their abilities, they did create the human.
They did.
They created the human. Yes.
They did.
But they left out what I want to call, and you can call it anything you want. They left out, I mean, they gave us wonderful technology, wonderful abilities. You know, this is where we got it from, from the Anunnaki. But they left out the God gene in our DNA. They left it out intentionally.
Well,
because they did not, they wanted to control us. They did. They wanted to, by leaving out the God gene, they would have prevented us from ascending.
Well, wait a minute now. If they, the God gene, what does that do? If we had the God gene, you said we, do we have
we
it?
We do
or
have the God gene.
You do
yes,
have
we
it.
Do. They, we all have it. They put the God gene, they left the God gene out, and then the higher fifth dimensional and above, obviously, the Anunnaki, because they cut themselves off from source energy, they were basically lords over the beings of the fourth dimension and the third dimension. They no longer had access to the fifth dimension. They could not control anything on the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension can control anything on the fourth and third dimension.
Okay,
but
okay.
They honor the cosmic agreement that they will not interfere unless it will destroy the planet, and they will not allow Mother Earth
who,
to be destroyed.
Who made that cosmic agreement? Who put that in place?
Higher beings that we don't really know about.
Okay.
I myself don't know about.
Okay.
But they're high cosmic beings.
So they're higher beings on the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and beyond dimensions who are on the Galactic Command. And we're saying the Galactic Command happens to be a mothership, so many motherships that are miles long and miles wide that...
Well, there's a lot of them, Russell.
Okay, they're above us all the time. Is that right?
Well, they're watching us because basically we're all one. We are them. We just don't realize it.
I see.
But and that's because what the Anunnaki did is that when they created our DNA, they left the God gene out. But and I believe, from my understanding, it was the higher Pleiadians, and there are some lower Pleiadians, but the higher vibrational Pleiadians said, no. You have to put the God gene in there. You cannot leave it out of the human.
So is it in or is it out? Is it in us or they took it out of us?
No, they created it, and they created us without putting the God gene in our DNA. The Pleiadian said, no, you need to put the God gene in this creation of yours.
So let me ask you a question. So the human beings have the God gene in them, but they don't know about
yes.
it. But they don't know it.
Well, and let me finish the story. They put the God gene in us, but what they did is that they're so tricky and so crafty and so intelligent, but not enlightened. They are not enlightened. Only up to the fourth dimension. They cannot go to the fifth dimension because they intentionally cut themselves off from God source consciousness, which is 5D and above. So they are lords over the fourth dimension. So they put the God gene in us, but they, like the Pleiadians, demanded of them. But they did not activate it. And so over time, we had the God gene in us, but it was not activated up until a particular time where it was was by the higher beings, and I believe it was the Pleiadians again who said, no, now you need to activate that.
Okay, can I ask some questions?
And so,
I don't want to take this story for 2 hours. I just want to ask some questions about this. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, you can get into those stories, and people do, and sometimes I talk with Jillian Green, you know her, and she has her story, and she'll talk for an hour without me saying anything about, because she has a story, right?
Uh-huh.
But there are a lot of intricacies that I could ask, and you don't get a chance to ask about that, and the new people who are listening, it's wonderful that they have a story, like the Adam and Eve and the flood, the Noah, and all that. And it's nice to listen to those stories, but sometimes there's some questions that arise. Would you believe that?
Oh, sure. I mean, everybody has their own interpretation of Adam and Eve and what it really is.
Okay. So
religion has it all wrong.
Okay, fine. Okay. So now you're saying religion is wrong. I'm looking at people who are Baptists or Catholics or Presbyterians or Methodists, on and on, Seventh-day Adventists. You're saying all of those people have it wrong, including the Jewish people. Is that what you're saying to me?
I'm saying that all religion.
Okay.
And like I said before, there's no good, bad, right, or wrong.
True.
Nobody really understands this because Earth basically is a giant Petri dish.
Okay. An experiment.
It's the planet of experiments. We're just experiments. So the human is an experience. And so
this whole planet
religion,
this whole planet is a make pretend, if you will, like Shakespeare says.
What?
A make pretend. It's a play.
Yes. Well, it's an experiment, and it's to be experienced.
Okay. So
and that's what makes it so hard to be human.
Okay, let me ask you another question. So nothing that's really real that we think is real, whether the Democratic Party, Republican Party, Independent, or whatever.
Well, that's just all a game. That's all a game.
Okay, all right,
yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they say, when people talk about the Bitcoin or the dollar bill or the yen or the whatever, all that's a game. For us to,
it's all a game.
That's a game, okay.
All the wars were a game. All the wars were constructed by the lower, let's say, the lower lords of the fourth dimension to keep us in a state of fear because they cannot create on their own. They have to get a source of food somewhere. And fear is their source of food. It basically keeps them alive.
You keep them. Are we talking about the reptilians, the Pleiadians, the Anunnaki? Who are they?
No, not the Pleiadians. They're, for the most part, they're fifth dimensional and above, as are the Arcturians, the Sirians, all of them. I'm talking about the reptilian and the Anunnaki.
Okay. How many species?
They are lords over the fourth dimension.
Okay.
They are the lords, but they're not allowed to do anything or to even contact the fifth dimension because they intentionally cut themselves off
from source energy. Okay, watch this. How many species of entities on this planet and living on the planet under the Earth and hollow Earth or living in Antarctica, living in under the pyramids, wherever, how many species do you think are roaming around on planet Earth that we don't know about?
I have no idea, Russell. I wouldn't even take a guess at it.
Okay.
But
we did mention.
I mean, I really would.
The Palladians are here. The Reptilians are here. The Anunnakis are here. The Greys are here. The Tall Whites are here. I mean, that's four or five right there. So, would you would go on with that list?
We can go on and on because remember, we're basically a show. We're basically all a game show here.
Okay.
You know, we're just having experiences. But when Earth made a clarion call to the cosmos, a flood, and I mean thousands and thousands of higher dimensional light beings, such as the Arcturians, the Pleiadians, the Sirians, the Lyrians, the Andromedans. I mean, there's, I don't know, there's probably 100 of them.
Okay.
They all came to help Mother Earth.
So
because
they are here on the planet then?
Not necessarily, no. They are helped. We have no idea how many times we could have been annihilated as a species and as a planet if it were not for the galactics taking out, let's say, atomic bombs.
Okay.
That have been sent off through the universe.
Yep.
The galactics are fifth-dimensional beings. They have access to technology that the Anunnaki will never have, and so, or the reptilians, and so they, all of those things, all of the weapons that we have created, given to us by the Greys, the Anunnaki, the reptilians, whatever, they have taken them out, or they've dismantled them,
right.
Just like they did in so many of the air bases that, I mean, I'm living here in Montana, and in Malmstrom Air Base, Boeing set up, I don't know how many hundreds of silos at Malmstrom Air Base, and a higher dimensional being, one landed, and there were two others that hovered above the base. This was in 1964 or 67, one of the two, and I was living in Great Falls as it happened. And they basically took out, they dismantled our nuclear weapons.
Nuclear silos.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know.
They dismantled it. Boeing didn't believe it. They came down here at 3 a.m. and they said, this isn't possible.
Okay, right.
Well,
so they took it, they shot down the silos so that we don't destroy the Earth, right? Because since we're playing the game is domination. So if we look at the fifth dimensional, let me do this. If we look at the forces of light and the forces of dark, not making any moral or ethical decisions on good or bad, okay, they are here on the planet in terms of the Illuminati, the cabal, the Bilderbergers or trilateral, whatever, you can go on and on and on. So they're here, and as I look at Ephesians 6:12, it says, it's not about good or bad, it's about the principalities. You remember that statement?
What do you mean by principalities?
It's about who's going to be in control of the planet. Is that where we are?
Well, that's kind of like what we're going through right now, what they might want to call the ascension major central solar flare that is supposed to come, and we have no idea. It's a guessing game. People can guess all they want when it's going to happen. But that would be, that's the collision of the divine feminine versus if you want to call it, the light and dark colliding together.
So
and,
that's going to happen. Are we going to be taken out? That solar flare, is it going to disrupt everything in terms of the electronics, you know, the internet, all the electricity, all the shut down all the power grids? Is that going to happen?
I imagine that'll happen before the great solar flare. But it won't happen permanently. It will happen for the purpose of waking us up again.
Okay.
And we can choose to wake up or stay asleep. But to stay asleep, no, we will not be reincarnated on Earth again.
All right.
We'll go to another
topic. Let me ask you another question. See, these are basic questions that I'm just learning all of this. So I'm trying to get a grasp of what's happening, of all these entities and all these constructs. But you are saying that the human being on the planet is really a god incorporated in the human body for an experiment. That's what you said.
Yes, we are very, very special. And the cosmos knows this because we've ascended before, but we've only ascended in consciousness without taking the physical body with us. This has never been done before, what we are going through right now. And that's why people, wherever they are, as long as they're doing their best and they're not really part of the dark ones who want the planet to remain dark, which are the Anunnaki and, I mean, you know, that one guy that spoke, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds.
Right.
And some other lines that are directly connected to the Anunnaki.
Okay. The Cabal, the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers,
yeah.
The Trilateral.
People we don't even know of. They infiltrate the CIA. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
That is, and I'm not saying that everybody in the CIA is bad, but it is not a good organization.
Okay, how about the Pentagon? Are aliens working with the people in the Pentagon?
Let's talk about Dick Cheney.
Okay. Let's talk about the Queen of England.
The Queen of England, yeah. And what's his name? Prime Minister Heath, who is a full-blown reptilian. And Gillian Sime.
All right. How about Bush, the father? Bush W. Bush.
The father, yeah. The George W. Bush was just kind of like, I don't know, he was kind of like a pawn. He wasn't that bright.
Okay.
But it was George Sr. that was head of the CIA.
Of course, and president.
Yeah, and he basically, I mean, it's really funny because he and Bill Clinton are good friends. Well, so all of our presidents are selfish.
So
I want to say maybe not so much JFK, even though he had a sex addiction and other stuff. His intentions were very good, and that's why he was assassinated. The CIA, and of course, who was the vice president? Who was the
Lyndon Johnson, Alan Dulles?
Lyndon Johnson. And yes, and the CIA.
Alan Dulles was head of the CIA.
Yeah.
At one point. Yeah.
And yeah, it was basically them that took out Kennedy.
Okay.
But the rest of them,
because
and I'm talking about, because it wasn't so much the Bay of Pigs, but Kennedy was going to spread. He was going to give some of our secrets that we have.
To Khrushchev?
Yes, to Russia.
Right.
And essentially kind of wanting to enlighten the people that, yes, extraterrestrials are here and they're not bad.
Okay.
To get us out of this fear mode.
Okay. Michael Sella, I don't know whether you know Michael Sella, S-A-L-L-A, he's a consummate researcher, very, very, very knowledgeable, but very prolific. And he has a book called Kennedy versus Eisenhower. And if you want to get that book, he talks about the fact that Kennedy was taken out because Kennedy had discovered or knew about the reptilians and the Nordics and the Greys and the secret space force that the United States has had under the guise of the Majestic 12, and you know all about that, of course. Do you know that Stephen Greer, who's been researching this for like 35 years, he has a documentary called Unacknowledged that 700 million people have watched. I don't know if you watched it or not.
You sent me that, and I listened to it.
Okay. Then he has another one he just released a couple days ago called The Lost Century. He's expecting a billion people to watch that. He had a big conference in Washington, D.C. on June 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th, 4 days of this, where he's disclosing the fact that the Secret Space Force have spent trillions, hundreds of trillions of dollars secretly to have their own space force that takes people to the moon and to, which is a base, by the way, which is not a planet. It's an observatory.
I know.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hollow. It's not a planet. Yeah, it's being used by the extraterrestrials.
Okay. But do you know about the Majestic 12 using the Secret Space Force to take people to Mars and Antarctica and all those places? Do you know that?
It's something, and I'll be honest with you. And this is where our paths are a little bit different.
Okay.
Yours and mine. Mind you, there is no good, bad, right, or wrong. We all have individual paths, and ours are different, as all of ours, everybody's path is different. And eventually we'll get to the very same place, because we all are a part, a unit of God source consciousness. We are not different. We're not separate. We're just taking different paths to get to the same place.
Enlightenment.
And then we continue to evolve.
Percent,
yeah. And then we continue. And then we enlighten more and more and more and more until we're about as close to source as we can get. But we do not blend with source.
Okay.
Everything, because everything is source, but it's not, everything is not the void. And
right.
If you want to take it, and this is just my interpretation, others will most likely disagree, but the center of the source is the divine feminine.
Okay.
To the highest vibration. And why I'm saying the divine feminine is because that the void is dark because it's not manifested yet. And so it is not manifested into any type of realm like the angelic realm or anything like that. Those are realms that have been manifested into separate light consciousness. And we can call them angels, we can call them ETs, it doesn't matter. But they're not a part of the void. And that's why I say the void will always remain unknown.
Right. I've heard that 1,000 times. Okay, so let's say that's true. Okay. But Laura, you know Laura Eisenhower or Linda Mutant Howell? Do you know those two ladies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Laura agrees with you that there's a feminine energy that's dominant in this whole vastness of the universe as we know it, and even the parts that we don't know. Have you heard her talk? Have you spoken with her before?
You're talking about who?
Laura Eisenhower.
I've listened to her. I like her. And we'll never know about it because there's more than one universe.
Okay.
There's millions of universes.
So it just goes on and on and on. How vast are we talking about? Billions? Trillions of planets?
We have no idea, and we will never know.
Okay.
And it's not even important.
Okay, all right. Well, it gives us, look, I think they have some idea, like the, you know, that telescope they just set up. That has found about 100 different planets, but anyway, that was in recent years. So it's good for us to have an idea of another picture besides the picture that was painted for us, the Garden of Eden, the flood, Noah, that we are in control, that there's a president, there's a priest, there's a pope. I mean, come on, all that's a game, right? You said all religion.
It is.
Okay, all right. So should we look at another picture in our mind's eye, if you will? Wouldn't that help us?
It could, as long as we do not make that our only focus. Because that's just...
But that is the focus that most people have. It's like looking at television and looking at Jerry Springer. They believe all that stuff on the Jerry Springer show, or Judge Judy, or Judge Joe Brown. They believe that, or Gilligan's Islands. They believe that stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about? Most people's that is basic. That is basic to we are being controlled, and we have to go to work from 9 to 5, and we have to go and irk out a living, and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, that's the Anunnaki program. We were programmed by the Anunnaki.
Okay. And so, but when you believe that 9/10 of the people on the planet are hooked into that dream or that picture, would you believe that?
All humans are. It's called the human matrix. It's called the third dimensional matrix.
Okay, so we're in a matrix. Okay, it's like the Truman Show. Remember the Truman Show? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're being observed like we're like rats in a cage.
well, you know, like the Matrix said, it's like what was very interesting is when Neo enlightened himself to the point of exiting the Matrix, and we're on the verge of doing that, but because we're on a third dimensional time space continuum, we might think it could be 3 weeks when it could be 30 years.
Okay,
and we try to do everything in time, but when Neo enlightened himself to the point where his vibrational frequency was able to transcend the third dimensional matrix, he was no longer controlled in any way, shape, or form by the matrix.
Okay.
And let's just call that the fifth dimensional.
Okay.
Okay, let's just call, just for our own brain. Let's just say he enlightened himself to fifth dimensional consciousness, still a third dimensional being, dimensional consciousness, and so he could control anything the matrix threw at him, which he did, because he saw the matrix for what it was, and that the matrix was the real illusion, and yes, we, for the most part, as a race, are still living in that crazy, fucked up illusion that this is real.
Okay. So
to us, it is real.
So
it's not.
As I hit this table here, that's not really real. That's an imaginative.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, and see, that's where a lot of, spiritual teacher wannabes.
Sure.
I want to say, and I'm not meaning to diss on them, but
sure.
Anybody can throw out the fact that this is not real. Well, my advice to them is to take a hammer to your thumb,
okay,
and bang it, or cut off a limb, and you tell me that pain isn't real.
Okay.
Okay. So, in other words, yes, it to us. It is real because we're still operating under the third dimensional program that was set up by the Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding, now I could be not right on that.
Okay,
I question everything I say.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. So then we all should question everything that we hear.
I'm sorry, what?
I say, as we learn about all the intricacies of what we're of the different constructs out there, we should all question everything we hear. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
If a person really wants to become self-realized, in other words, really is on the path of enlightenment, which means they want to operate out of their higher self or balance the higher self and not be controlled by the ego. If they're really on that spiritual path, then they'll basically
Oh, shit, what was I just about to say? Yeah, that's the most important thing there is. That more than anything, and I know I'm kind of jumping back to where, you know, to where we were, but what you were saying is that everybody should know, and they are. People are waking up. I mean, you can see it left and right.
How so? Describe the awakening.
Okay. People, part of the awakening is that the whole our whole species is becoming awake, whether they even realize it or not. And because you can tell, kids no longer want to go to school. Here where I live in Montana, and this is happening all over the planet.
Okay.
Kids don't want to go to work. They don't want to go to school because that's part of the agenda. We wake up in the morning, we go to school, we learn a whole bunch of lies and that are told to us by people that are asleep. The whole academic system is a lie. The whole pharmaceutical system is greedy. It's a lie. The government is greedy. It's a lie. Everything as we know it is a lie that we have been fed to follow, to feed the corrupt people in power. And people are waking up to this. People no longer want to get out of bed and go do a meaningless job. They're not interested. They're starting to get a stirring within their soul that there has to be something greater than this bullshit.
Okay.
There has to be something greater than going to work.
Okay. All right. Yeah, people, do you think because of that shutdown that we had, the whole world was shut down based on a virus?
And it was meant to happen.
Well, why?
It was a good thing.
Okay. All right. Okay. Listen, you've been on the earth at least almost four score ten, at least, right? A long time.
Long time.
All right. But the world has never shut down in the many years you've been here, the 70 or 80 years almost that you've been here. It's never shut down like that before. How could they shut down the world just on saying, oh, there's a virus out there, go home, everybody go in the house and don't come out? How could they do that?
Well, they did it.
I know, I saw it. How did they do that?
They were successful.
But how? How did the people allow that to happen is my question. The whole world.
Because we're not awake. We're not awake. We still believe that the government knows best.
The whole world? I mean, this was from country to country.
Yes. It's a planetary thing. It's not just the United States. This is a planetary thing. We're all in the third. We're all in. We're all basically kind of took the blue pill.
Okay, so that was
words,
that was a grand experiment by the Illuminati, the cabal, right?
I would probably say close to that. Yes.
Okay.
But it was really the good point of COVID was that look at the good that came out of it. I mean, yes, there were lives that were lost.
Yeah.
But there is no death. They'll be back. We just see all the sorrows because we're looking at everything through a third dimensional lens. There is no, we're all going to exit, you know.
Well, you have to exit. You came here, so you're going to exit.
Yeah, and it's not a bad thing. It's but nobody likes pain. Nobody likes suffering. Well,
but who does?
Well, hello.
But who volunteers for pain except a psychopath?
The whole third dimension is about pretty much suffering. Nobody likes to admit this because a lot of people don't even know it. But most people are in the dark, and planet Earth is basically the planet of emotions.
Okay.
And it is not it's not possible to come to Earth that is the planet of emotions to not feel pain.
Yeah.
You cannot not feel pain and
well,
grow.
There's a lot of it here. You look at Big Pharma. just relishes that, the fact that we're all in pain, and so they feed us those little pills.
That really fuck us up.
Right. and every one of them has a side effect. Okay.
Multiple, and it's designed that way.
Okay, all right. So the food is bad. They've taken all the nutrients out of the food, so we don't get the proper amount of nutrients in our bodies anymore, right?
No,
and then
not really.
Then we have to run the big farm, and they feed us something else that has a tremendous amount of side effects. So how do we win this war, then, is my question.
Well, it's the same message that Jesus came.
Oh, okay.
And that message is basically, what did he say? The kingdom of heaven lies within, meaning that you are the kingdom of heaven. You've got to wake up to the fact that you are the Christ.
Okay.
In a human body. And I'm not saying, what I mean by Christ is that's Christ, the Christ energy is the fifth dimensional energy.
Right.
Okay. That's who and what we truly are, having a human experience.
I see. Look, and what you say, I've heard from Jillian and others and George Green and other people. So our role here, our duty, responsibility as an incarnated being, soul, if you will, into a body, as we try to learn what to do here, as we try to get in position of ascending from the third to fourth and go to the fifth dimension and beyond, is that our role and duty and responsibility is not to go and get tons and tons and baskets full of gold and Bitcoin and all that. That's not why we're here. Is that what you're saying to
me? It's all fake. Yeah, it's all fake.
It's all pretend.
Yes.
Okay. But everybody's running for everybody's running for the dollar, and they'll do anything. You go on Capitol Hill with the congressmen and the senators and the like, and the people who work with them. They all after the Wall Street. They all after the money, the jingle. They spend all their lives for to get things, if you will. Do you understand what I'm coming
from? Well, sure. Wall Street is run by the Illuminati.
I see.
Okay, it's basically controlled by the Illuminati, or the bloodlines of the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. It's controlled by them, and they can control the stock market any way they want to do it.
Oh, of course.
And so their whole goal basically is to manipulate and control the stock market so that they can make money off it. And we're just kind of led to believe that if we invest in this and invest in that, we'll be doing just great. So the more we invest in, then all of a sudden the stock market is going to absolutely crash. Well, who do you think makes all the money when it crashes?
Well, they make the money.
Exactly. And we lose the money. And
of
then
course.
We start all over again. So in the stock market, we may be led to believe by fear and greed and survival that we're really going to make out if we invest in the right markets. That's basically not true. They're just kind of laughing at us.
Of course.
Because they're going to pull the plug. They're going to pull the plug when they want to pull the plug.
Well, it's called the golden rule. He who has the gold make the rule. How's that?
Say what?
It's called the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules.
Look,
let me. We've been talking for a minute or two, and we still have about 10 minutes to go. I'd like to take 5 minutes and play something for you. So somebody else is talking about the purpose, goals, and objectives of being here on planet Earth and what we should be doing. And just a couple of minutes, and I want you to comment on this. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay.
This business of the wedding of Cana, now this is extremely important, and Christ tells you himself in this. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. first and last, right? And he demonstrates the Alpha and the Omega in a teaching which is in the Wedding of Cana and the Last Supper, the first miracle and the last miracle, right? This is so important to understanding his message, right? Because what if, yeah, he's, yes, he's, it was a wedding feast, and it was probably his wedding feast. And in another situation, he was married to somebody else. And there's a whole thing there. Right? But the important thing about this, if I may say so, about the marriage of Cana, is that when his mother asks him, and this is the secret of, you have to ask. If you want anything from spirit, anything, any of us want anything, we have to ask. So his mother asks, and she says, son, turn the water to wine. You know, bring more wine. So he gets the water, and he puts his hands over it, and then he tells the host to serve it. This is now wine he's serving, not cups of water. And everybody is stunned by it, as the story tells you. At the Last Supper, he does the same thing with the bread and the wine. Now, at the wedding feast, he's just turning water into wine to fulfill the requirements of earthly guests wanting a good drink at a wedding. And at the Last Supper, not for the large crowd of a wedding, but for the small select group of his disciples, he is turning wine into his own blood. What is this telling us? It's telling us that he's changing the frequency, because that's all it is. The liquid of water has a frequency. The liquid of wine has a different frequency. The water in the grapes becomes wine, right? Because during the process, there's a process. He's done the same water to wine. Now he does wine, changes it to the same frequency as his own blood. And the bread, this is my body, remember, take this in remembrance of me. And then he tells people to take it in remembrance of him. And it's like he's saying, I've taught you everything you need to know. I want you to go out and repeat these teachings to everybody, teach all the nations on the earth, and teach them to do this in remembrance of me. And then somewhere, and it's like he's given them a checkbook. And told them what his signature is. He told them how to write the check out, right? And then weeks later, after the crucifixion, after he's returned, at the Feast of Pentecost, the story tells us how the light comes down from heaven and fills them. They become enlightened, and the energy of spirit flows through them. Now, when energy of spirit flows through us, where does it come out? It comes out through the palms of our hands and the soles of our feet, essentially. But the palms of the hands are very powerful. That little wheel center in the palm, very powerful way of focusing the energy. That's why we can do laying on of hands, right? So when the ordained priest, in this case the disciples, they actually became representatives of Christ. At the Feast of Pentecost, they've been given the way of doing it, and now the light filled them in such a way they now had the authority and the ability to pass on to anyone else that transformational step from water to wine, from wine to the blood of Christ, a change of the DNA of the structure. Had the human race continued to do that on a regular basis for the last 2,500 years, and at the same time tried to live in accordance with the teachings of Christ, we would all now be fully Christ consciousness, enlightened beings, ready to move forward into a higher frequency, because we would have changed our own DNA into a Christ-like or an Anunnaki-like DNA by now. We just haven't done it. But that whole thing, from the Alpha to the Omega, the beginning and the end, is so important to the message, because it's the actual doing of the message, not just live right, but in the process, change your DNA and become right.
Okay, Carolyn. Comment on all of it. We have about 10 minutes left. Go ahead.
What part you want to comment on?
Whatever part you want to take apart, you go for it.
Basically, what he gave his disciples, he gave to everybody.
Okay.
And it all he's doing is playing out, and what she's talking about is the playing out of the passion play.
Okay.
Which was designed in the higher cosmos to be played out on Earth. And yes, we are, it's still the very, she goes into it on, let's say, a deeper esoteric level.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think people, your common person, is really ready to understand that. The easier way is what Jesus tried to be very simple, and the easier way basically is what I've said over and over and over again, is that we are already Christing. We are the Christ having a human experience. What we're doing here on Earth, because the veil, we were completely shut off to that knowledge, innate knowledge, that we are the Christ. We were shut off intentionally because we chose to come down to the third dimension, which is a matrix which has been shut off from divine reality on purpose, so that the... So that, let's just call it God, as much as I don't like that word, but so that God could experience itself in its lowest conscious form to see what it was like. And blah, the human is created by the Anunnaki. So in a sense, the Anunnaki aren't bad. They just made a decision not to go any higher than where they're at. But it's still very simple whether or not he changed water into wine, and of course the blood is higher vibration, and you can go on and on and on about that. But still, the main message is that through experience, eventually, through incarnation after incarnation after incarnation after thousands of them, we will begin to grow tired of being controlled, and we will begin to wake up and begin to slowly remember that we are the Christ and we do not want to be controlled anymore. And that's why you're seeing all this split in consciousness and people not wanting to go to work because they're tired of being controlled. We will wake up to the point that it's not going to happen all at once.
Okay.
It's going to happen gradually, as it is right now. But as long as we focus that the kingdom of heaven, and I don't even like the word heaven because it denotes a specific place and there is no place, the fifth dimensional consciousness, which we are, Jesus was trying to tell us, is within our higher heart. It's within our heart. It's in the human body. It's in the heart. Well, it's in the etheric double, but it is in the heart. And what is the heart about? It's about integrity. It's about love. It's about not judging, whether there's good, bad, right, wrong, God, gay, straight, serial killer, whatever. It doesn't matter. We go into the heart for the answer on how to react to the actions. It's all about the law of cause and effect. What goes around comes around. If it's negative shit that goes around, if we react in a negative, hateful way, then it continues on and on and on. If we react in a way that says, yes, I don't like this, I don't resonate with it, but I am not it, and I am not going to respond in a hateful manner because I know that hate carries a lower vibration, which is going to disable me, that basically harm me. Fear, greed, shame, guilt, those are all lower frequencies of energy that feed our ego, but continue to block the truth that we are the Christ. And that's the game that we are playing in. Look at all of us. We're all afraid that we won't have enough.
True.
We're all afraid of pain. We don't like to be shamed. We don't like to feel guilty. We judge left, right, so that we can feel good about ourselves. But when we judge others, we're basically judging ourselves. That's
okay.
What Jesus was saying. What you do to others, you do to yourself.
Absolutely.
It's
okay.
Very, very simple.
Okay. Now, when we look at Buddha or Muhammad or Zoroaster or Krishna, and goes on and on, you have said earlier that they were enlightening beings. They were enlightened. And they came here to, as a sacrifice, to help us to understand who we were. That we came to incarnate into the human body, and we're part of who they are. Is that? Could you say that like that, or is that wrong?
I would. I don't know. I don't like to say it, but. There can be different degrees of enlightenment.
Okay.
You know, from my understanding, is that Jesus was the highest frequency of enlightenment that could contain the carbon atom.
I see.
And that's what our universe is made up of.
All right.
The carbon atom.
All right. I'm gonna switch a little bit. You talked about earlier Corey Good and David Wilcock. You mentioned that you had something that you're going to send me about them. They focus on the law of one. Did you ever get into that, the law of one?
Yeah, of course. Jesus was saying the very same thing.
Oh, I see.
We are all one.
Oh, okay.
And even the higher ETs say that. We are all one. But
okay.
We have to remember that. And it's hardest to remember that when you are in a human body completely veiled on purpose. Remember, we're a cosmic experiment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I, the lower ego part of me that says, I want out of this bullshit. I don't want to be an experiment. But that's the fact.
All right. How many times have you been here? How many times have you come and been incarnated?
I have no idea.
How many times do you think?
All I know is I couldn't even guess. In the thousands, I couldn't tell you.
You think three or four times, five times, 10 times?
Oh no, in the thousands.
Well, why do you keep coming?
And remember,
why keep going through the pain of this over and over again? Can't you do it another way? Is my question.
Well, that's the thing. That's why the humans are so honored and so revered. Is that we decided to do it the hard way.
Why?
It was our choice. we didn't do it on an ego. So you're coming from an ego aspect. When you come from the soul of you, the soul aspect, remember that your soul is infinite and eternal. That means it's infinite. It goes on forever. And it is eternal and infinite. It is the beginning and the end. And it's only desire, the soul only has one desire, and that is to go back to source.
I see.
That's the only desire it has. And so its desire, because the third dimension is an experiment, and I might add on a darker note, it's an experiment in terror, in misery. And all of that stuff. In reality, the higher the vibration that one is, it doesn't see it this way. But we as humans who have suffering and pain, which all of us do, we have moments of joy, we have everything in between. but it's a choice that the soul made. And once we come down here and we basically, in order to survive, we build some identity, personal identity that we like to see ourselves through. And this, it's layers of the onion that are put on and on and on. You know, we develop personalities. We develop right, wrong, good, bad. And this is all part of the third dimensional matrix. It's set up that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was only supposed to last a certain amount of thousands and thousands of years. And the time is up. Third
okay.
dimensional time is up. And that's why all this shit is going on the planet right now, is that 3D is coming to an end.
All right. Laura Eisenhower, I'm going to take 1 minute, and 1 minute only, a little less than a minute, and comment on
into the relationship that he was sent specifically to draw me into this recruitment, while this whole time I just thought that I had run into a person that was involved in going to Mars and I had the option to go or not go. And when I found out that I was specifically targeted to go and that if I were to leave that I might be kidnapped or taken anyway, I knew that I was dealing with something very heavy and it wasn't feeling positive. Whether or not I was going to go, it didn't feel positive. Because initially I thought, well, this doesn't sound like a terrible thing to protect the human genome. I just know I have a mission on Earth. But finding out that this was a manipulation and it was set up to program the people involved to have them believe that they're helping humanity was where a lot of very well-intentioned people I was seeing getting caught up in an agenda that is not serving us as a humanity.
That's the great-great-granddaughter of, you know, President Eisenhower.
Eisenhower, right.
Yeah, who made some deals with the aliens, and here we are for,
Eisenhower was just, he was a pawn.
Okay.
He never should have been president, you know, he was a military man, basically, he wasn't.
True.
He was told what to do, and he was kept in the dark, and he was used, and I feel bad for him in that way.
Yeah, and he understood that before he left, and he commented on but that military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
Listen, 1 minute to go. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for explaining all of this to us, and maybe we'll get something out of it. In the last minute, what would you say for us to do in terms of what kind of behavior, what kind of activities should we indulge in? What would you say? What would you say? 1 minute.
Well, I would say try not to focus so much about the dark agenda. Yes, a lot of it is true, but it's also based on fear. And the more we focus on fear, the more we digest it. I would say that each individual has all the answers that we will ever need in order to enlighten. And in order to do that, we have to have the desire to not to judge, to come from a higher state of consciousness as best we can. And it's not going to be easy because we're going to get angry. We're going to go through pain and suffering, but always try to see that there is a higher purpose for it. And do your damnedest not to focus on the pain and the suffering and everything else. This is my lesson. Try to understand that this might be a lifelong situation that on a soul level I chose, and just do the best I can by loving myself and cherishing myself and having compassion for myself as much as I can. And I'm not talking about the ego. I'm talking about what I am going through. And when I do that, I am able to give it out to other people by having more compassion to what they are going through. And that's basically it. End of the story. And if we all do this, then we as a collective human consciousness will come into a higher vibration to where the dark agenda and dark agenda is basically the ego. That is the Antichrist. There's no other Antichrist but your own ego. And all it wants to do is to stay alive. And we dismantle it by focusing on the positive. And I'm not talking about fairies and unicorns and all this spiritual bullshit. I'm talking about the real focusing on raising our own consciousness by doing the best that we can. And that's all we can ask of ourselves.
Okay.
And to try not to judge yourself and try not to focus so much on the intellect, but more from the heart. And that's our ticket to freedom.
All right, Carolyn, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you're very welcome.
And take care. Have a good one.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
And don't look for anybody out here to save you other than yourself. You know, even Christ said that. He said, what I do, you can do and greater. And what you sow, you shall reap.
Thanks for listening. Blog Talk Radio.